Well, good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Jen A. I live here in Colorado and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you, God. Today is Friday, October 18, 2024. It's 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and today we're reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're in the chapter titled We, Agnostics, on page 53, paragraph number 4. It begins with That Was Natural through one paragraph, ending with faith had been involved all the time. We're going to comment on that one paragraph only. Today's readers on Team Friday, 12 Steps, Deborah R., 12 Traditions, Tenzin P., Reader of the Text, Larry K., Closing Reader, Karen M., Backup Reader, Anita L. Our newcomer greeter is Benita L., and our second hour moderator is Matt J. F. The reference numbers for yesterday, which was Thursday, October 17th, 2024, are the following. The 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Big Book Study recording is going to be 21,839. That's 21,839. And the 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Big Book Study recording is 21,840. 21,840. All right. Overeaters Anonymous preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry this message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Deborah R.W. to read the 12 steps.
Thank you. Thank you for your service this morning. This is Deborah R.W. from Michigan. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we are powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Pass.
I will now ask Tenzin T to read the 12 traditions.
Thank you very much. Good morning, everyone. Tenzin P checking in from New York. And our wonderful 12 traditions. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop compulsive eating. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, our anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you very much. Wishing everyone a blessed day.
Thank you so much, Deborah R.W. and Tenzin P. Well, this is how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're going to read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we do ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our absence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on the topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. So to share, you're going to press star 1 to unmute, and once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study of the chapter We Agnostics in the Big Book on page 53, the fourth paragraph. I will now ask Larry K. to begin reading.
Hey, Jen, thanks so much for your service. Okay, that was natural, but let us think a little more closely. Without knowing it, had we not been brought to where we stood by a certain kind of faith? Or did we not believe in our own reasoning? Did we not have confidence in our ability to think? What was that but a sort of faith? Yes, we had been faithful, abjectly faithful to the God of reason. So in one way or another, we discovered that faith had been involved all the time. So in this paragraph, we get to reflect on the concept of faith and how it intertwines with reasoning, you know, particularly in the context of the madness of this disease. And for me, the paragraph raises several key points. First, it speaks to the very nature of faith. And what's suggested is that the act of reasoning itself can be seen as a form of faith. By believing in our ability to think critically, make rational decisions, we demonstrate a kind of trust, right? And this broadens the definition of faith beyond the theological God stuff to include faith in one's intellect and reasoning abilities. And I was thinking on page 86, you know, I'm reminded every morning during my prayer and meditation that under these conditions, we can employ our mental faculties with assurance, for after all, gave us brains to use. And the second key point for me is about self-reflection. There's an element of introspection as we were encouraged to reconsider our assumptions. The phrase, let us think a little more closely, invites a sort of deeper exploration of how faith operates in our lives. and it highlights a potential blind spot I might have, where faith may have been taken for granted. And third, there's a kind of critique of over-rationality. And what I mean by that is when it says faithful, abjectly or humbly faithful to the God of reason. See, that for me suggests a critique of over-reliance on rationality. So in a real sense, it implies that while reason is valuable, it may not be sufficient for addressing the core issues related to my disease, those in the spiritual realm of existence. And there's just some things related to this disease that don't seem to lend themselves to rational thought processes, you know? For example, on page 30 in More About Alcoholism, it says, the idea that somehow, someday, he will control and enjoy his drinking is the great obsession of every abnormal drinker. So that's why the spiritual solution becomes undeniably rational for me. It flat out works. I don't overanalyze it, debate its validity, none of that. So the passage reveals a profound insight about the interplay, the divine dance between faith and reason. And I'll close with this thought. Addressing this disease requires not only rational strategies, but I have to reconceptualize my faith. What is it? How is it manifesting? And how is it going to inspire change in me? Change is the dance between letting go and holding on. It's a rhythm that I learned to navigate. For me, change is the canvas on which God sort of finger paints, you know? So with that, I pass. Thanks, Jen.
Well, thanks so much, Larry. Appreciate it. We do value everyone's experiences on the line today. We ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So share the air. And who would like to share on what was read today? If you give me your first name, first initial of your last name, I'll go ahead and take it. Go right ahead.
Karen Kay.
Karen Kay.
Benita L.
Benita L.
Troy C.
Elena C.
Troy C. Elena C.
Tony B.
Tony B.
Christina J.
Christina J. Anyone else I didn't hear? Let me repeat back. All right, that's a good lineup. Karen K., Benita L., Troy C., Tony B., Elena C.,
Nate
and Christina
F.
J. Is it Nate F.?
Nate F.
Could you spell the first name for me, please?
N-I-C-K.
N-I-C-K. Hi, Nick.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. All right, then we'll put Nick F. at the end. All right, perfect, everybody. Well, let's get going. First up, we have Karen K. Go right ahead, Karen.
Good morning, Jen, and thank you for your service. I'm Karen K., a recovered compulsive eater from Syracuse, New York, and my credits do not transfer. I like the opening share, and what came to me is when I'm breathing, you know, is it in my head or is it in my heart or my soul? And the longest distance is from my head to my soul. And that takes a daily practice of connection, direction. What the next right thing is to do, you know, I mean, abstinence is the foot in the door. I'm talking about life, you know, like yesterday I had no internet. You would think the world was the chicken was falling from the sky, you know, but you know what? I was able to find things to do. I had a couple things, errands I needed to run, and it gave me some quiet time with God. And so sometimes God's ideas are better than my own. I think he wanted me to have a break. And, you know, I try not to, what's the word I want? I don't really have a word. Is God is the center and the Holy Spirit is my director. And I want what is pleasing to my director and treat myself and others the way that I would like to be treated. And with that, I will pass.
Thanks so much, Karen K. Up next, we have Benita L., followed by Troy C.
Yes, this is Vanita L. in Georgia, a recovered compulsive overeater. And good morning to everybody. Yeah, it's fascinating because, as a lot of you have heard me say before, I grew up in a religion that was very meaningful to me as a child. And, you know, so I always was really drawn to this connection with spirit. But that didn't help me with my addictions. And I had a God for sure. And then, even though I did reject it, I rejected the religion. I didn't reject spirit, but I did reject that religion early on. But even though I went off on a whole nother path with spirituality, that stuff never helped me with my addictions. And I think I was very slowly maturing emotionally because of my addictions. And then even though I'm educated, I've always was much more emotionally centered, and I could be highly reactive and stuff. And I had an older sister who was much more intellectually oriented, and she always thought that was really weird. And, you know, last night I was at a ceremony for the full moon, and they were talking right about blending the heart and the intellect, you know. And I've noticed, which is interesting to me, though I still, of course, pay attention to my feelings and my heart and really pretty much everything when I'm trying to make decisions, I have realized that as I've gotten more sober, I get much more rational and I do think things through also. So I would say it's just really the blending. You know, there's been much more of a blending of all the parts of me and connected with spirit, and the 12-step programs have helped me have what I call a grounded spirituality, where I'm going to do things I didn't do when I was, like, I didn't know how to make amends in a relationship when I did damage. My reactivity was causing a lot of problems in relationships. And I was kind of attached to my emotional reactions, too. So there was a big letting go. But anyway, that's my comments, because it's a fascinating topic.
Thank you so much, Vanita L. Excuse me. Troy C., you're up next, followed by Tony B. Good morning, Troy.
Good morning, Jen. Thank you so much for your service. This is Troy C. I'm in Florida. I'm a recovering compulsive overeater. And, you know, at first approximation, the first glance, my instinct is this argument isn't convincing. How can I have faith in my own reason? Right? Faith is like belief in something that I can't tangibly prove, that I can't directly associate results with. Like that's my go-to, that's my reflex. But when I start to look at the results of my reason, you know, the chaos that I caused for years in my own life and the lives of people around me, it starts to seem like that instinct, that reflex, that the next time it's going to work, the next time my schemes for self-seeking and for controlling and enjoying my eating are going to work, that is obviously a form of faith. Now, I do get the benefit that, like, the chaos is a tangible result. You know what I mean? So faith in a higher power might have, until I've learned to rely on it anyway, it might seem to have less tangible results. But, you know, it seems like a really good trade for tangible results that are always bad. Looking back through the memory lane of the chaos that I constantly lived in when I was completely trying to run my life on self-will, it really is stunning how I was devoutly faithful and worshipful of my own reason, and that I was going to figure this thing out and I was going to manipulate and plan and plot my way through life, even though it blew up in my face over and over and over again. You know, destroying relationships, getting fired from jobs, being over 100 pounds overweight. But I was the president and a member of the Church of Troy and Troy's Reason. And I was loud and proud about it. I was a belligerent atheist when the first time I came to a 12-step program. But my various compulsions broke me over the wheel. And I'm really grateful that I came to a place where I was willing to believe that a higher power could restore me to sanity, because I had no other option. So I wrote this thing a blank check, and it's delivered me really good results. I recommend the same course for anyone else, even someone who really was hotly, like really, really against the idea of a higher power, becoming willing to believe because you've got no other option. That was sufficient for me to make a beginning. And I hope I can do the same for anybody else out there who's in a similar spot. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Troy C. from Florida. Up next, we have Tony B. Good morning, Tony.
Good morning, Jen. Thank you for moderating. My name's Tony, and I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater living in Scotland. And thanks very much for the lead share there, and for everybody's shares. And it just does make me think how much I think I know, how much I thought I could reason, how much I still think I know, but how much I thought I could reason this disease out. You know, I can restrict and then I can allow myself to binge. I can over-exercise. I can relapse and then I can get back on track. This isn't too bad. I can do it my way. And I can't. I know very little. And it's good for me to realize that. And this abjectly faithful to the God of reason, meaning, you know, has bad results. It's negative. And it did in my reasoning out of what I could do with the food and how I could get myself recovered. And yes, I think it's so important to remember how little I know and that I see through a glass darkly, you know, this reasoning, this thinking. And I do a lot of thinking. I do much more than I need to of it. And I like the way it was brought up that we consider our plans for the day. And before I begin, I ask God to direct my thinking. Okay, so I start the day by laying out some basic plans for myself. But then through the day, I have to return to God, because I still don't know in any given moment what the right thing is. God has the big picture and I have to trust him. I can't rely on my thinking. So that's all I wanted to share. I'll leave it there. I pass.
Thank you, Tony B. from Scotland. Up next is Elena C., followed by Christina J.
Good morning, everyone. Can you hear me?
You can be heard, Elena.
Elena C. from Greenville, South Carolina, recovered for today. And I'm very happy to be here. I hear in this paragraph the certainty that everybody believes in something and people don't even know that it's called faith. And I am reminding of at the core of each one of us is the fundamental idea of God. And it's giving me so much courage and so much reframing of the way I look at people. You know, I don't like what people are doing at times or are saying. And yet this book is encouraging me and assures me to look at these people in a way that is compassionate and understanding. And you know, there's more to these people and to me myself than just what they do and what they say. Why? Because faith is to be found much, much deeper, into a deeper layer of my consciousness, into a deeper layer of everyone's consciousness, into a very, very deep layer of my being. The 12 steps of recovery and my ability and willingness to pause and search has helped me to grow into this spirituality and to experience life so profoundly, because their thoughts and their feelings, their judgment, their beliefs, you know, the things that are happening in us that are very well programmed by how we were raised, you know, maybe we were born for sure with some of the things, but that's not faith. Those are just parts of me. Faith and God is so deep, and it's a profound belief that all is well. That's what I can surely say, being exposed to the 12 steps and to you guys. That is a profound belief that myself, people, places, and things, my condition, is somebody else is in charge. And I don't have to explain what or who that person entity is. I just have to stay and say to myself, better believe it, Elena, better believe it, better believe it. And that's what I want to grow into. I want to continue one day at a time to connect with that belief, deep belief, that everything is well, that I'm going to be well, that this world is going to be well. And forget it. I never believed that. Never, ever. I was so conditioned into anxiety and fear, resentment, and so forth. And, you know, and I am so, so grateful for this
time,
program,
please.
So grateful for this big book and for you all. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Elena C. Up next, we have Christina J., followed by Nick F. Good morning, Christina.
Morning, Jen. Morning, everyone. I was driven by self my whole life, myself, what I was going to do. And I was so proud that I had a plan. Many other people were floundering around, not knowing what they wanted to do with their life, but I knew. And what was driving that plan? My self-centeredness, my fear, resentments, the wounds of my heart and my soul. They were driving that plan, and they almost drove me to death because they were uncomfortable. Little did I know they were uncomfortable. I lived in anxiety most of my life. I had a faith in my plan, and I thought God was behind it. And in reality, he was. He let me touch all those hot stoves and do all these things because he knew it was going to bring me to my knees, as I shared last week or this week. I don't even know when it was. But I let these things run my life. I didn't know. I was ignorant. The problem was that I needed comfort. And I didn't turn to that thing I believed in for comfort. I didn't know how to do that. Believe it or not, all the churches I went to, all the spiritual retreats, all the meditations, all the things, I didn't know how to turn to this God within me and my heart to ease the discomfort of these driving forces. Because it takes a little bit more work than just turning to God. It takes 12 steps. It takes 4 through 9 to reveal what they are. This is what the big book has done to me. It has revealed what my first half of my life was about. And I can look back now and say, oh God, thank you, I'm through that. But I also know now, how am I going to keep this? What is the path to God, to spirit, to opening up the heart? Get out of the way. Stay out of the way. What can help me do that? What can help me continually clean my brain of all these things that are still embedded in it? Work from the heart. Embedded in my head of all this stuff still. But now I see it. I can become a witness to it. I can step back. It takes a little bit of work to do that. And then what? When I get clean and healed, and I'm not going to all be, you know, totally clean and healed, but I'm going to have a desire. And what is that desire? To help others to reach this place. I'm going to want for others what I want for myself. That is the huge gift. That's what the big book brings me to. And that is why I can't be selfish. Oh, I don't want to sponsor. Oh, I'm not going to be good enough. I'm not going to be, you know, this is God's work. And this is what I've got to give back. Because of this program, there's a separation going on in my soul, in my heart, in my mind. Away from me. Oh, I held on so tightly to that path. This is what I'm supposed to do. This is what I... Yeah, okay. Maybe you are going to still do it, but it's going to be in God's way. And there's not going to be any fear, resentment in it. There's not going to be self-centeredness. There's not going to be a need for validation. There's not going to be a need for standing on the top of the mountaintop. There's going to be a need for just being humble and real and giving people hugs. You know what I think North Carolina and Florida and all these places hit by the hurricane need right now? We've got plenty of supplies going on. People are setting up tents and heaters and all kinds of things for people. We need hugs. We need love. We just need to hold each other. And that's what we need to do in life.
Let's not be
separated by projections and our jealousies and all that. This program will take you to the beautiful place of healing. So embrace it and get on with it. Sorry, you don't have to get on with it. I'll pass. You can do what you want.
Thanks, Christina J. Up next, we have Nick S. Nick, before you begin, let me tell everybody where we're at. So if you just jumped on the line with us, welcome to A Vision for You Big Book Study. Today, we're resuming our study in the chapter of We Agnostics. We are located in the Big Book on page 53, paragraph number 4. It begins with faith, that was natural, and it ends with faith had been involved all the time. We're commenting on that one paragraph. So Nick F. is up next. Good morning to you, Nick.
Good morning, family. I'm Nick, in Tennessee. Recovered compulsive overeater by the grace of God today. Oh, my goodness. I love this line. I could say ditto to all that has been shared, especially to the last share. And, like, I'm sending hugs and love to those places because, like, this share just really gave me chills and tears to my eyes because, you know, I feel like sometimes I feel full of fire and passion when I share, and then other times I just have to show up, you know, because God has done for me what I could not do for myself, and I don't have to have the most articulate and, you know, profound share. I just get to show up, and God loves me how I am, and you all love me how I am, and you know, right now I'm experiencing, I'm nicotine free. And it was really like the people on this line that I heard, you know, they were recovered and then they had to put down the nicotine and, you know, the path got narrower and things like that. And I was like, holy shit. So maybe I got to, you know, I got to be here and I got to keep growing and I got to keep stretching. And I get to keep leaning toward this God that I hear you all, just moved me to believe in more and more. And absolutely, I'm on a job. It's a little small setting right now, and I'm getting to hear people testify about their religion, and then I see them eat foods that are killing them. How do I know they're killing them? Because then later they talk about juicing and dieting, and I just see the pain and the turmoil, and they like so dressed up and so cute, and so that was me. I thought if I got the husband, if I got the degree, if I got the house on the water, that my life would be all right. And I found out I could live on that water and not know how to feed myself, just like I could live in that hood and not know how to feed myself. And so today God has done for me what I cannot do for myself. And I'm right in the middle of the experience of believing that God is going to do this for the newcomer. And I'll say it's frightening, it's scary, it's exciting. And it's just amazing, and I can't give up, and I can't doubt God because I have a physical display of a miracle in my life, my children, where I live now. Like, the peace that I feel is just God letting me know he's doing for me what I can't do. And I could not stop killing myself with the food, with the nicotine, with the booze, you know, just for the sake of this line, though. The power of having the food lifted out of me is my greatest miracle. I tell them in every program, this is my greatest miracle. And you know, you're always right. It's not about the weight. It's not about the food. It's about my thinking. And today I just think and believe that God is going to do for the newcomer, you know, as long as we keep coming back and hand in hand, I just want to see God move in this way. So I'm excited to be doing this service. And thank you all for letting me just show up, and hugs and love to those places again. With that, I pass.
Well, perfect timing. Thank you so much, Nick F. from Tennessee. All right, well, I'm going to go ahead and take another list of names. We do value your experience on the line today. We ask that you share the air with others. So limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. I'll go ahead and take your first name and the first initial of your last name. Go right ahead.
Russ M.
Georgia. I have Russ M. and somebody from Georgia. Who is that?
Trisha D.
Thanks, Trisha.
Uh-huh.
Liz T.
Kenton P.
Liz, Kenzen,
Sherry M.
Sherry. Anybody else? All right, we'll get started. Russ M., Trisha D., Liz, Kenzen, and Sherry, if you'll give me the first initial of your last name and the state that you're calling from when you pop up to share, that would be great. Good morning, Russ.
Good morning, Jen. Good morning, family. Russ M., recovering compulsive overeater from PA. I don't know. Did you ever hear me in my story that I was a train wreck, drunk, junkie, loser? I don't know. I don't know if I shared online, being facetious here. Y'all heard my story 9,000 times. But this paragraph, this passage, this time of the book just wants me to say I'd be nowhere. And not being overly dramatic, the facts, that I'd be dead if it wasn't for the grace of God, the 12 steps, and my fellows. And that was all predicated on being crashed and burned and having to put my arm and hand out and ask for help from people and surrendering it to God, which is hard. I need to read this chapter every day to realize who is what and who gets the credit. Because I sit around here, you know, my life is pretty good, man. I'm doing this, I'm doing that. I'm doing squarado. Look at that up. That's a Sicilian slang word. I'm doing nothing. This is only because of God and because I had to surrender, had no other options. So now I'm in life. I'm 52. I'm coming up on 8 years. I hope I get it. I pray to God that I get it. But I have to surrender not just this food and this addiction and this crazy talk in my head and my pride. I got to surrender the rest of my life, which I'm battling now. You know, it's an everyday thing that God's either everything or he is nothing in every aspect of my life. And that's the challenge for me. Sure, I'm clean. It's pretty cool to be clean, you know, knowing that you got your meals planned out. You have a pretty productive day. You can do normal things, regular people. But trying to get stuff done for my mother's estate, or dealing with my grief, or dealing with my children or my wife, or when the water pump breaks in the car. Like, how am I supposed to go about this? The same way I did with the food. So what I'm getting at is I have a little struggle. You know, I ain't got it figured out. But I know if I just keep stepping forward, keep stepping, it'll work out, whatever way it does. And it usually works out for the best when I have no other option. So what I'm getting at is I need to read this a lot. I have to remember who's the boss and who's just the dude working the steps. So, all right, thanks for letting me share. Love you guys.
Love you too, Russ. Thanks for your share. That's Russ M. from PA. Next, we have Trisha D. from Georgia, followed by Liz. Good morning, Trisha.
Good morning, Jen. Thanks for your service today. This is Trisha D. from outside Atlanta, Georgia. And this paragraph, I think of a quote that seems to me. It says, unhappiness is created by the narratives that I tell myself. And that when I think about that quote, I think about, you know, I can reason my way into everything. I can tell myself all these stories. And that's when I'm unhappy. It's just like, I can do this. I have control. And I start sentences with the word I know I am in trouble. And so what has helped me is I've had so many experiences in my life in the past 74 years of my life where I've had so many miracles that have grown my faith. And I see this now as this was each challenge was a stepping stone to bring me to a vision for you in the 12 steps, because I was so much into my own reasoning, my own control, and I could do this on my own. And by little, God kept showing me that he was there for me. And that I just had to surrender. And what I've heard is when I live on the horizontal dimension, where I look at my past
or I look at my future and I keep focusing on the horizontal of my faith. But when I look at the vertical dimension, when I look at, keep my eyes on my higher power, He is the power. And that's what I'm becoming more and more cognizant about, is to be honest with myself. I'm a food addict. I have no power, but I'm not helpless. And when I say, Lord, I am powerless over my thinking and over my food. And yet, then that's when my faith grows, when I see that He gives me this, the promise is coming true. I have the neutrality with against, you know, I don't want my trigger foods anymore. I'm following a food plan. I'm sending my food in. I'm weighing and measuring. I'm sponsoring. I'm doing the action. That is such a gift of faith, and that's been nurtured over and over because I'm keeping my life in the vertical, living in steps 10, 11, and 12. And also another dimension is the honesty. I never dreamed how important the virtue of honesty is, to even in the littlest things, because in every time I just say, oh, I don't really need to measure it this time, or I don't need to do this, start with the I again, I want to take back control, that's when I know I'm in trouble. And I go, all right, Lord, here I go again. Just be honest, tell your sponsor, fess up, and then I feel strong again. And again, I'm living on the vertical dimension, not the horizontal. And so I just thank you for the 12 steps. And thank you. Newcomers, keep coming back. It works if you work it. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Tricia D. from Georgia. Up next, we have Liz, followed by Kenzen P. So Liz, if I can get the first initial of your last name and where you're calling from today.
Good morning. This is Liz T.I. from from Minnesota, one of those M states. I'm calling today. This is my second day of abstinence. I have a history of chronic relapse and chronic in and out and in and out of the rooms. And when I look at this paragraph, the line that jumps out at me is, without knowing it, had we not been brought to where we stood by a certain kind of faith. And my faith has really been in myself and this false idea that I should be able to do it myself. Life, food, finances, relationships, reliance on my finite self. And it has brought me pain. It has brought me over 100 pounds overweight. It has brought me to suicidal ideation. It has brought me loneliness, despair. And I know that today, I know that I'm in a place where there are other people who have been where I've been and are not where I am. They have moved through this pain into a different place with the help of God. And I know that my ideas about God, my history of belief and the religion of my childhood, all of that really needs to be shaken up, and that my foundation needs to be kind of abolished and rooted. So I was encouraged to share by my sponsor, and I'm following instructions. And with that, I'll pass today. Thanks.
Well, thank you so much, Liz T.I. from Minnesota. Glad to hear you this morning. Keep coming back. Up next, we have Kenzen P., and then it's followed by Sherry M. Good morning, Kenzen.
Good morning.
I'm sorry.
Good morning,
Kenzen.
Everyone.
Why? I know who you are. It's Kenzen P. I don't know why I wrote that. Thanks for
okay,
your grace. Go right ahead.
Okay, Kenzen P. in New York. And I've so appreciated all the shares, serious shares about that the gift of reason isn't the whole story. But what I wanted to share is about the last thing that our reader today shared in relation to the paragraph. The reader said, faith is a canvas on which God finger paints. And I thought that was, that metaphor was heartfelt and humorous and compelling for the following reasons. Well, finger painting may not be as precise as a brush, but hey, maybe it's more essential. And finger painting uses my whole body and my whole mind connected. And finger painting leaves room for the unexpected. And finger painting leaves room for playfulness and joy. And all of that just adds to a picture of what faith can look like. And with that, I pass, wishing you all a blessed day.
Thank you so much, Tenzin P. from New York. Up next, we have Sherry M., and then we will have time for a couple more shares.
Good morning.
Sherry M., where are you calling? Hi.
Yes, hi. Good to hear your voice. Thanks for leading. My name is Sherry M., and I am a compulsive overeater with a daily reprieve today from this deadly disease, and I am calling from the great state of Wyoming. And I was thinking, thank you everyone for your share, and I want to ditto earlier share. Yeah, I mean, I have no doubt I would be 6 feet under right now without the 12-step program and God. God has absolutely saved my life. God of reason. You know, growing up as a latchkey kid from the age of 7, I needed to use my brain to provide all my needs and my food and my meals and everything else. And so I really did live a life of figuring it out. Let's figure it out. So coming into program, of course, right there is a spiritual experience to say, I don't know, God knows, and I will do what God wants me to do. Sorry for all the coughing. I have had some bad allergies. But I wanted to share, like, what does a spiritual experience today look like? I've had so many. And for me, because I do like to figure things out and live in a logical brain, it's everything that cannot be seen, felt, or anything. It's something that's deep down inside of me. It's the unexpected miracles that God provides. It's being able to just return from a three-week trip to a third world country and being gone and, you know, like, how will my needs get met? You know, how will my food, what is it going to look like? And la, la, la. And then we get to Africa and we're in the middle of nowhere and our guide's name is Godfrey. And it didn't dawn on me until 3 days into it, God equals free. And I was like, oh my God, here's God again. I was able to get everything taken care of in the middle of a forest with no running water, and I had no problem getting my needs met in terms of food and everything else. And the biggest takeaway from this trip and going to a third world country and seeing these little kids full of joy and these people, the most joyous, wonderful people with like nothing, right? In my mind, right? My preconceived notion is things make happiness, and that's not true at all. It's a deep knowing. It's God deep down inside, and Hakuna Matata. You know, they just kept saying, like, no worries, and it all just worked out, and I was able to go with the flow and be of service to others and to look for the joy and the wonder in nature and the wild animals and to know that God had me safe and protected. It is such a beautiful experience, this program. It never ceases to amaze the power of God when I just say, hands in the air, take it all and guide me, God. And God provides more than I could ever dream of. And my little limited mind of reasoning gets me nowhere. But God's power is thankfully so much better than that. But the food has to be down and it has to be a total all-in. Like, here it is, 100% God, take me, do with me as you will. So thanks so much for letting me share. Have a blessed day.
Thank you. I mean, good to hear you today. All right, folks, we have a little more time on the clock. Anyone else on the share?
Jody B.
Jody B.
Karen W.
And we'll stop there. All right, with Karen W. All right, so Jody B., go right ahead.
Hi, good morning, everybody. So nice to be on the line with you. Jody B. here from Minnesota. Something I'm just hearing so largely this morning from you all is that precipice of just using full reason and getting to that place where recognizing that I did have abject, I was abjectly faithful. I did have confidence. I did have a strong, strong belief. And so when I've read this paragraph before, I always kind of left it going, oh, I've got to really get some more faith. I really need to work on my faith. And I'm recognizing this morning, it's not so much I have to recognize my faith, it's where I put my faith. And it's kind of like an idolatry situation. If I'm going to rely on the God of reason, or am I going to rely on the God of faith? Can I really shift my, bring my full faith that I've been practicing for quite some time and just bring it to the same place and go, oh, God reliance or Jody reliance? So thank you for listening. I'm really glad to be on the line, and bless you everybody today.
Thanks, Jody B. from Minnesota. Glad you got on with us this morning, and thanks for your share. Up next is Karen W. Go ahead, Karen. Where are you calling from?
Good morning. This is Karen W., compulsive overeater recovered from Katy, Texas. Grateful to be on the line this morning and grateful for this paragraph of reason and faith. You know, life would be miserable if I couldn't change anything about myself. And I believe that the spirit lives within me and that I just need to listen to it. I need to speak. I need to listen to the rest of you. And then I'm able to change the things that I don't want to be. You know, I used to be a thief, a liar, a restrictor, a hider, a compulsive, everything. And my higher power has helped me to change. And I need to rely on the faith that change is possible if I'm willing to do the action. And, you know, not every day is perfect, but most days are beyond belief from what they used to be. And I'm so grateful for that and this program and the morning meeting to start my day. I love it, and I'm going to continue. And I get emotional yet. I'm working on that. So that's all I have to share, and I hope everyone has a beautiful, blessed day and weekend. Thank you. I'll pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Karen W. from Texas. All right, we have a couple more minutes. Anyone else want to take the last share?
Kelly S.
Go ahead, Kelly. Thank you.
Hey, guys. Hey, Jen. Thanks for your service. It's Kelly EYS from Tulsa, Oklahoma. Just wanted to jump in real quick. I heard something earlier on a meeting I loved that really what brought me to this step was I had no other solutions. And I say that to God all the time. I got nothing else. You're all I got, right? If that's all you have, that's it. And this is what I just wanted to share. And I've said it before. You don't have to understand this God thing. You don't have to define God. You don't have to be able to explain God. I couldn't do any of those. I still can't. But if you put down the food and you work these steps and you start doing this way of life, you start to experience this God thing. And that is such a trip. And that has happened for me. Chronic relapse or over 100 pounds overweight, binging and purging until I was underweight. I today am living this life. So I can't explain God, still can't. I can't define it. I don't understand it, but I experience God every day by staying abstinent, working the steps, and doing this way of life. And it is a trip, you guys. So if you've got nothing else, and you're desperate and you've run out of solutions, just give it a try. Just go in it with faith and willingness. And with that, I pass. Thanks, Jen.
Well, thank you so much, Kelly S. from Oklahoma, for taking us out today. What an awesome meeting, everybody. So I just want to say thank you to everybody who shared, everybody who was here, everyone who did service. It takes all of us. So please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following the closing. Grab your pen and paper. Here's the share ID today. Share it with your sponsees, share it with your friends, or listen to it again. For Friday, October 18, 2024, the 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time recording is 21,842. That's 21842. We're now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, and it will be followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Karen M. please read A Vision for You?
Thanks, Jen. Happy Friday, everyone. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we only know a little. God will constantly disclose to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and for countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.